I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests discuss a lawsuit regarding childhood sexual abuse claims by two former Athens Boy Scouts, the 10-year update to the Athens Comprehensive Plan getting underway, and we discuss the latest regarding the Firefly Trail. All that and much more next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. I'm joined by Blake Aud with Flagpole and Gwen O'Looney with WXAG. So we are starting today with some former Athens Boy Scouts filing a lawsuit regarding claims of sexual abuse. Right. So I know that's something that
This has been
very troubling.
Becoming, you know, it's been rolling out for a good many, really, months now.
Right.
In December, when they first released the Boy Scouts of America's perversion file, is what it was called, and recognizing those people that had been reported, and evidently they also did a lot of investigation, which is good to hear that they investigated these cases and these reports by young people, but they didn't follow up. They didn't do anything. They stopped, in one case, they stopped Ernest Boland, who was a chairman of the county commission in Athens. So you know that that, too, was probably something that they were very careful or worried about, upsetting someone that was well-known or well-connected in the community. But it's just so sad that that parents reported it, young people reported it, and he was first, and each time he was a Baptist volunteer, and each time he was in a Baptist church and moved his membership, to the third time was when he was not allowed any longer. But it was never public. It all happened behind the scenes.
Right, yeah, and I mean, this is just kind of an example of, you know, the way things are swept under the rug. This guy, Boland, you know, like you mentioned, Gwen, I mean, county commission chairman, businessman, you know, very prominent in the community, and it came to light originally, I think, around 2012 or 2013, when there was a judge in Oregon who ordered the release of some Boy Scouts records. There were several thousand names on this list of people that the Boy Scouts, scout leaders that the Boy Scouts had investigated or received reports that they had been sexually abusing Boy Scouts. And Boland was on this list. You know, like you said, going back to the 60s, I think he had led a scout troop at First Baptist, and I think it was discovered that he had been molesting boys at First Baptist, and then he went to Green Acres and the same thing, and then he went to Beach Haven Baptist and same thing, and finally they told him he couldn't be a scout leader any longer. But it took, I think, about 15 years for that to happen, and there was never any charges filed. You know, this never became public until almost 40 years later.
Right.
You know, and Boland, I think, passed away shortly after you know, this list was released.
Yeah.
He's been dead for about 4 years now, I guess. So
since,
You know, he's not around anymore to, you know, for anyone to seek justice against him. But now a civil suit has been filed against his estate by a couple of former people who grew up in Athens. I don't believe they live here anymore, but grew up in Athens and filed suit against the Boy Scouts and against his estate, seeking damages for the trauma that he allegedly caused.
Right, right. And, you know, there are only two, but their suit is just—it's amazing how quickly others joined in. I mean, think about it, you know, these people are spread out all over the country. was so many years ago, but it shows the scarring that occurs. Young people really, they're a white page. And if we draw on them and scar them in that way, it hurts them forever. And so I really feel for those people. And, of course, we've seen this with the Catholic Church. I feel so sad that any institution, especially that is supposed to be religious, caring about people, that people come to it for help, or in the case of Boy Scouts, that they are educational leaders, that they're preparing the future and people trust and that sort of thing, that they wouldn't protect that reputation. And all it takes is a couple of times saying, we will not tolerate this, for things, you know, when people just shy away from having their perversion in those realms. So I just, I think, I'm sure every community has this, has a moment when they realize that their children have had a problem, that it's really life-threatening. A lot of young suicides occur because of sexual abuse.
Well, and I mean, you know, for a long time, I mean, you know, the kids, they might not even be believed, you know? Well, I mean, if you made those kind of allegations against someone that sort of a pillar of his community, I mean, odds are that no one would even believe you, you know, and they had ways to, you know, obviously manipulate and intimidate these children to, you know, so they would never say anything until, you know, maybe decades later.
Mm-hmm.
And
the
this goes back,
the
you
ones.
Know, and the Boy Scouts have known about this since the 1920s or 30s. And they, you know, they've been investigating this and they had a file and then they destroyed it, you know, so the records now, I think, only go back to maybe around 1970 or so, when they started, you know, keeping records again, but, you know, the early ones were destroyed, but we know that they knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is as Gwen mentioned, I mean, this goes on in churches of all different denominations, and it's, you know, just people who have authority over kids and misuse it, and it's really sad.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are some wonderful things, and I'm sure online you can find this today, but there are some really excellent programs. My husband did one when he started the Athens Area Child Abuse Council. There are some excellent programs for parents on how to watch your children, what they're bringing home, what they talk about, if they have knowledge that is inappropriate or new knowledge that you don't know where it came from, to without judging them or making it where they're ashamed to tell you or it's their fault, you know, to make inquiries. And it's a crucial part of parenting.
Yeah, I mean,
certainly not a child's fault, you know, certainly. But, of course, they feel guilty.
Right. They feel dirty.
They're the victim, but they feel like they did something wrong, which is obviously absolutely not true.
Right.
But that's how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, and I've got a 3-year-old. I mean, we're Catholic, and so, of course, this kind of thing has crossed my mind.
Of course.
So it's something that every parent really has to
that's
be
right.
concerned about.
Yes.
Like, I know, it seems impossible to be aware of everything, but this is something that I know that's just so devastating that any kind of assistance parents can get to prevent it is absolutely wonderful, mm-hmm. or even to just watch out for signs that something isn't right, maybe he hasn't gone that far, but just signs that your child is dealing with something too heavy for them to handle.
Yeah, they might become depressed, they might become withdrawn, you know, there's going to be some kind of change
right.
in behavior usually.
A lot of groups today have taken steps to, for instance, there has to be two leaders, and, you know, there has to be some, you know...
sort of checks and balances.
Yeah, checks and balances, and that doesn't mean, though, that the parents shouldn't be vigilant.
All right. Well, we will move on to a topic that is not as heavy as that one, and that is Athens is updating, just getting underway with their mandated 10-year update to the comprehensive plan. And Gwen, tell us a little bit about the comprehensive plan.
Well, this was implemented by the state, I think, like not, you know, it's kind of, it can be a token thing. It's only as good as the community wants to make it, only as in-depth. It often just relates to how much water they're processing and those kind of things that are regulated and easily gathered. If they do them, they've got the numbers. So you can make it a very easy thing, or you can make it a real, a thorough look at what you're doing and what you want to change or what you want to add or what. And hopefully, if we don't use this mechanism to do that, we'll use some of the many others that are in place, Envision Athens and the Total Tool, I think is the name of the bike master plan developers. And I really think we need to, we got the T-SPLOS, we got the SPLOS, all of those things coming up within that next 10 years. So that's the potential there.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And a lot of counties, you know, this is mandated by the state. A lot of counties, you know, they don't, it's just sort of a token thing that they have to do. But in Athens, it really does mean something. This is a 10-year plan that's really going to guide development. And anytime there's a rezoning or somebody comes in with a variance, they want to build something, they need permission from the government to do it. You know, this is the document that they look at and they say, well, does this match up with what the community has said that they want in this spot? And I covered it when they did it 10 years ago. It's every 10 years. So it was, 2007, 2008, I think, the last time they did it when Heidi Davidson was mayor, and, you know, there were hundreds and hundreds of people involved, and they broke out into all these groups, and they did a lot of work, and I think there was a little bit of hard feelings among some people because maybe some of the stuff that they wanted to get in ended up not getting in. Right. After
was that
the
Progressive Athens? No.
Well, this was just the comp plan update.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And not much really was changed from the prior one, but to kind of illustrate how important this is, when previous to that, in the late 90s, Athens-Clarke County they rezoned the whole county in conjunction with it. So it was a really big deal 20 years ago. You know, they changed all the zoning and everything. And so when you look at how Athens has grown in the past 20 years, that's why. If you look at all the downtown high-rises, well, we have those because 20 years ago, the community, the government said, well, we're going to increase the density downtown. We're going to make it 200
that's
bedrooms
right.
an acre.
Right.
We're going to rezone West Hancock multifamily, so that's why we're dealing with that now. There are all these consequences, that you're not going to see crop up, for many, many years when you do this kind of planning. So it's really important that the community be involved and that that people really kind of have foresight to look out ahead, because a lot of times what we've run into, I think, is there are a lot of, we have good intentions when we do this kind of thing, but there are a lot of unintended consequences that no one really sees.
That's right. And they can't be really, it needs to be tended. But Blake, what impact or difference at all, if at all, do you think it will have that we have the moratorium in place? Will that raise, do you think, the commission's determination or desire to create protected zones?
I think once, this process is a pretty long process, and I think by the time this gets done, the moratorium is going to be gone. Because the moratorium, I believe, is for a year, so it's only got about 10 months left now. What's being done in the meantime while this moratorium is in place, I don't know. Nothing really very visible. I know we're waiting on this, health assessment study of downtown, which I think was supposed to be done sometime this fall. But, that's all I really know. But I don't really see that as being much of a factor in the comp plan itself.
Right. That's interesting because this moratorium, when you pointed out about West Hancock, I think that the moratorium is a direct reflection of the 10-year plan not looking at the need to protect certain areas that will have grown. Of course, you never know.
Right.
Exactly. You can't be all-seeing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to think that there would be an understanding of maybe the historic preservation ordinance and how good a tool or bad a tool it is, since it's voluntary and it really protects areas instead of just one house here and one house there. Mm-hmm. It really builds the appreciation of real estate around each one of the historic zones have appreciated significantly.
Well, and the comp plan did recognize West Hancock as a potential future historic district, so, you know, that was written in there. But, you know, again, like you said, you know, this plan, you can plan all you want, but then you have to go do it.
Right.
So, you know, it's really worthless if people aren't going to follow it, or if they're not going to proactively try to implement it. You know, it really doesn't have any value. The value is kind of what you do with it, I guess, but it can be a very valuable tool. And I'm not quite sure how the process is going to work this time. You know, we have a new mayor, and a lot of this is tied up in the Envision Athens process that we've talked about before, where there have been these community meetings the past few months, and people have kind of ranked what they like and what they don't like about Athens, what the challenges are and things like that. And so we've got all this information, and you know, and again, it's a little fuzzy to me, at least, probably to a lot of people, how all that is going to feed into the comp plan, but they are tied together somehow.
Right.
So we do have that information available, and a lot of stuff gets pulled into the comp plan. I mean, MACORDS gets pulled in, your transportation plans, you know, like you talked about T-SPLOS, you know, all that gets dumped in.
Right.
You know, all your transportation projects, you know, your water, water resources, all that kind of stuff, that all goes in there, and that kind of dictates, you know, like how much and where you can grow.
You know, what you were saying about our new manager, Blaine Williams, and his impact on this, I think, being a major advocate for bikes and cyclists and pedestrians.
And that's another thing that gets folded in. Yeah.
And I was going to say, though, it's so late. You know, it's late for the comp. It's not going to be ready for the comp. It's not going to be ready for T-SPLOS.
Oh, I think it will.
Oh, I don't know about T-SPLOS.
Maybe not T-SPLOS, but okay.
Is the timing such that this will be folded in?
I think what they're going to do. The comp plan is just starting. That's like a year long process, I think, if I remember it right.
Right.
I think that's due to like next year, maybe the year after.
Right. No, I think it's.
But as far as T-SPLOS goes, I think what they're doing is they're not. The categories are going to be pretty broad, you know. So I mean, you can create a category for, say, bike infrastructure, and then, you know, the bike pedestrian plan, it doesn't have to be done yet, because you can go and you can plug in specific projects later. You just have kind of a bucket of money.
I don't think it will be as big a bucket as that plan will show.
No, I mean, a lot of people are going to be disappointed.
Staff is not as committed. It's hard for them to.
I think they're more committed now than they used to be.
Yes, I think so.
Maybe not as much as a lot of people would like, but there's $250 million worth of projects and $100 million worth of money.
So, right.
You know, everything is going to get short shrift.
But that's the other thing. I really hope that we'll be in a situation where we're not trying to do state jobs with our money.
I would agree with that, because if GDOT's going to come along and do it, they need to do it. We don't need to spend our money on that kind of thing.
That's right.
We need to stick to local,
Too often we've said, well, we can just do a little bit so it'll look better. Our pride is greater than their, so they can outweigh us sometimes. Let's don't let them do that.
No, let's make them do their job.
Wait for the GDOT money. This is, like you said before, so important for people to go get involved and look at those T-SPLOS projects online. Go to the public input hearing if you can. You know, just
they're still online. I think they're still taking comment on them. I think if you go to it's Athens-Clarke County/T-SPLOS or something. But if you go on Athens-Clarke County and search for T-SPLOS,
it'll pop right up there on the front page.
Poke around a little bit. There's a whole page that's got all the projects and feedback forms and all that kind of thing.
Okay, I need to do that.
Well, you're also kind of aware of what's happening. But, you do want people to see what's going on, because there may be something really important to them. And the more people that say, this is really important to me, that
right.
project is going to get maybe more attention or actually be funded. Because
right.
something's not going to be on the list.
Everything needs to have an advocate. You know, if there's
right.
not an advocate for a project, I mean, it's just not going to get done.
Right.
So, yeah. And the commission, I think, is going to finalize this list in August. So it's coming up.
That's very
pretty
early,
soon.
Yeah.
You know, they've already taken one sweep at it. I think they're going to have another work session in July, and then in August, I think they're actually going to approve it.
Basically, we're running out of time if you want to actually start.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's plenty of time if you want to go do it, but go do it. Don't yeah. just wait around, because
yeah.
August will be here before
right.
you realize,
oh, yeah.
oh my goodness.
And if, you know, it's just like so many other things. I mean, if you show up at the meeting in August and they're about to vote on it and you want, you know, $20 million for something, like, it ain't gonna happen, you know.
Too late.
I mean, it's just not.
You missed your window of opportunity.
Yeah.
And they are soliciting comments from the public. They really are. And they make it fairly easy to do so. If you go online, you can even go in person. I mean, it's however, whatever your preference is, but they want to get input from the community, which it's commendable, because the community has the vote for the T-Splast. So
right.
those projects
yes.
better be something that, you know, the public wants.
Exactly.
Right. And you guys already touched a little bit on this. We talked about cycling in the area. There's what's the latest with the Firefly Trail?
Right.
They had a big fundraiser.
Yes, and it's still open. It goes all the way till Saturday, June 3rd.
We got one more day.
It had a $15,000 match, and they made that, and they're at 61. But however amount that they make, what they're getting ready to do is something that really is worthy of our future. Talking about the future, this can easily be the future. It's sad that it's taken so long. A lot of it has been because of GDOT. They promised us so much money, and then we have to do so many hoops we have to jump through. Has really stalled this long past when it should have been farther along.
Yeah, I mean, I think we waited like 8 or 10 years for the feds to review it, you know, and they finally gave their approval. And, you know, this is the trail that is going to run from, you know, basically downtown by the river, down the hill. Out to Winterville along the old railroad track where the REM trestle is,
and then keep going.
And so we've got the money, and they're working on this right now. We've got the money to go out to like old Winterville Road, and then I think T-Splast, assuming it passes, they're going to put money in. It looks like they're probably going to put money in to do it all the way out to Winterville. Then Winterville's already committed to doing their part. But then the Clark County line ends, and so the Firefly Trail Group has been raising private money to get some matches for some grants that some cities in Oglethorpe and Greene County have been getting to finish it all the way down to Union Point. So it would be a 39-mile trail. And if you look at something like the Silver Comet over in East Georgia, I mean, that's a huge tourist attraction. So that could really be a game changer for a lot of those little rural towns. You know,
I can imagine.
Winterville,
right.
Comer, Maxey, you know, all those towns.
Because if you bike like me, you'd be stopping in the rural towns.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting some refreshments and trying to revive yourself.
Right. But, you know,
yeah, probably staying the night. It'd probably take me 4 or 5 days to finish it. But
yeah, I'm with you, Blake. But the little towns would appreciate us. The smaller communities would mm-hmm. appreciate us.
Oh yeah, and these are some of your best tourists. They don't cost you very much, and they can dump a lot of money into. But the other thing I think, and now here's an excellent example about the comprehensive plan, is that area between where the old Winterville Road starts and forward, that is going to really pop. The potential for residential is going to be huge. The temptation of having huge apartment complexes and that sort of thing, those are some of the things I think you need to really look at, that we need a park in that area. We need a significant park in that area.
If anyone has been on the Atlanta Beltline, this has the potential to be the Beltline of Athens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to see just extraordinary growth, I think, and it's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got, obviously, that was a big selling point for the Mark, the big apartment complex that is on Oconee Street, and there are plans for a Quick Trip along the route that's not going to be really your typical gas station. I mean, it's going to have like a cafe with like a patio along the trail, and you know, I mean, it's kind of weird that a gas station would be the first thing somebody builds on this trail, but it's supposed to be more like a restaurant cafe type thing.
I'm sure it'll be used.
But you're going to see a ton of development along this. I mean, this is really going to transform the east side.
Right. When I went up 32 years ago, I went up to my sister's wedding on Cape Cod. And there I walked on this trail behind, like it was like a greenway could be. And there were ads in all the newspapers and house located on the trail or whatever their trail's name is. And the economic potential for quality growth along this trail that really increases. The other thing is Boulder, Colorado. You can sit in the morning in a restaurant like Blake was describing and see all of these bicyclists coming in from one point and going underneath a city square that was bought. There used to be an old filling station there, and they paid what it cost to buy that filling station and make it a smooth link where the road can go straight and the people go right under with their. And look at Seattle with their huge cycling bridge that's just beautiful and just pours people into that city in the morning, you know. We really, I think, are just beginning to realize, and what we've got to do is make sure we've make the way for the next stage of growth in the right direction.
Well, like you said, it could be tremendous. And for the east side, what a boost.
Yeah, and I mean, especially when you factor in the Greenway extension that's extending down south that's going to go to College Station, and how all that's going to tie in with the park and ride lot. I mean, it's really going to be incredible. And it's going to do a lot for traffic on Lexington Road, and it's also going to spur a lot of development on the east side, which I think most east siders would say, you know, we need that. We need redevelopment over there.
Right. Well, you know, in that 10-year plan in 97, when we set that up, our idea was that we would have the density in the middle, and that then we would have pods of commercial development so that we would be in a situation very much like Atlanta has successfully done this in a certain area and with their trees project, where you come into a nice, quiet residential area and you see that and everything, and then there's a commercial node that they use, but you're not destroying it with commercial.
It's almost like that little small towns, you know, all in one city. Yeah,
I exactly.
mean, you could look at like Lexington and Gaines School as being, you know, one of those nodes, and you know, Barnett Shoals could be one of those nodes. So, I mean, they're there. You know, we have to think of them more in terms of not auto-centric, not the suburbs, but more like a small town, I think, where, you know, it's part of a city, but it's really its own little small town, you know, where that's walkable, where you can get around without having to get into your car.
Blake, we'll let you have the last word today. And I want to thank both of you for being here, of course. To hear this show again, you can visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, Flagpole, or WXAG. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.